Good. TJ, is he here? Yes, TJ, come on. Got a baptismal certificate for you, Saul, and then before you sit down, got you over here, bud. Yes. There you guys go. There you go. I don't see David. I'll probably get him on Wednesday. All right. It's always good to have baptisms. Amen. It's always good to be doing special things for missions and things of that sort, and hopefully be able to get Joseph on a live video chat from Africa here in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to seeing how that is, and I like to see him do it during their church service, but we wouldn't be here during their time, so they're opposite ends of the world. So usually when we're talking, right now it's like 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. So if they're going to do church service, we'd be in the midnight hours, so that's not going to happen. But it is good to hear his stories on what's going on with him. So today I want to share with you today a little bit of what's going on in 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to bring you up to where we are. What's happening here now is this is a story about Elijah. And what's happening in these times here is this is a really bad time for the people in Israel. Many of them have shifted from worshiping God and has shifted to serving Baal and these false idols. And a lot of it is because of leadership. It seems like their previous kings were just very wicked. And at this moment, now they've got, as the Lord says in other scriptures, that and no one has risen up as wicked as King Ahab. But he also has this beautiful wife and everything, but the Bible also says she's wicked. Jezebel is a very wicked woman. Ahab is a very wicked man. And when you have leaders that are very wicked, it affects the whole country. It affects the people of that country. And here we find that King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, everything in front of them is for self. Everything in front of them is for self. Everything in front of them. They want to worship the Baals. They want to worship these other things. And they put up an Asher pole. Ahab did a lot. Jezebel did a lot of manipulating of Ahab, and Ahab did a lot what Jezebel wanted, and so we see the land is not in a good place. It is worshiping Baal and all the things, and the people of God, their hearts, many of them, have shifted from God. I want to tell you, when your heart shifts from God, it's never good. It never turns out good. It never turns out good when your heart shifts from Jesus Christ. It doesn't. What you're saying is, I know about him, but I'm going to go ahead and live a different way anyway. And when we live different than what God wants us to do, we should know that there are going to be some things that's going to happen. In chapter 1 of 1 Kings 17, the scripture says that now Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead settlers said to Ahab, so we got this prophet, this Elijah is going up to King Ahab. As the Lord God of Israel lives, in whose presence I stand, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command. First of all, you go up to any kind of king or any kind of the persons in power and you tell them by my command. And here it is, he says, the Lord says by his command that this is no longer going to rain, there's not going to be any dew. Anytime someone says something to that piece, it would be a threat. And so we find here, even though it says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, he says there is going to be no dew. And Elijah says there's going to be no rain until I command it. Well, we know what that is. That's a threat to the hierarchy and a threat to King Ahab and, of course, Jezebel. And so there's not going to be. So basically what's going to happen, if there is no rain, this produces a famine, correct? This produces a famine. Things are not going to grow. The crops are not going to yield its crops and all those kind of things. And then it says in verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him, and then that's Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide at the Wadi Cherith where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. What we're going to see is a continuous peace where the Lord commands. You know, the Lord commands you and I to do things too. The Lord commands us that we keep the Sabbath and make it holy. The Lord commands us that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. There's a lot of commands that the Lord has for us on a daily basis, on a regular basis, on schedule. We are to love people that don't look like us. We are to love all people. We are called to share the gospel. We're called to do a lot of things. We're called to pray. We're called to give thanksgiving. God commands a lot of things. Here's the problem. We don't like it when God commands us to do something. We don't like authority. Come on now. We don't like authority. We do not like authority. Most of us don't like authority. Nobody can tell me what to do. Well, I want to tell you, God is in charge, not you. Now, you can choose to live the life that you want to live, but you will also reap the consequences. We want to know why our country's in a mess, because we all want to do what we want to do. And if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong and everybody else is wrong. And poor pitiful me, I deserve this, I deserve that. And here it is. It's all about me. Well, let me just tell you, it was never about me. And it was never about you. It has always been about God. This is His world. This is His creation. We are His creation. As soon as we can get that in our heads, that He is God and we are not, it will make things a little better. That we have some authority over us. I have authority over me. I'm not to live the life that my flesh, what desires and sinful desires and temptations cause me to do. I'm not going to let those lead my life. Yes, do we struggle with those? Yes, we do. But God gives us a way out. And when we do fail and we do sin, we can call upon Christ. We ask for forgiveness of sin. Work that out with the Lord. The Lord sets us back up and we move on forward. But what we see here is Elijah now has been told to leave. He is told now to hide. Now, it isn't hiding. We know that King Ahab, they're going to be looking for him. But we know that it's not the hiding that God is fearful. God is not afraid. This is almost going to be putting into a part here. I want to share some things about Elijah here really quick. Elijah is this guy who is just really has a unique life. He has a unique life. Why? Because he allows God to work in his life. And I want to remind you that if you let God work in your life, you will also have a unique life. Your life will be different because you allowed God to put His hands on you and to work you into directions that you would never want to do or never could do on your own. God has a way of closing doors. If you want to do a career, you can do it. But when you put your life into Christ's hand and you ask God to lead your life, God sometimes will shut doors that you thought was for you. But He also will open doors where it wasn't for you until you come to know Christ. And He has a purpose for you, fulfilling for His commission for the kingdom of God. God has a way of using human beings. He has a way of using His people. Elijah is one of those. Our lives will not be the same as Elijah. We cannot replicate everything that he's done. But other people cannot replicate everything that God has done in your life. What we see is Elijah is a man that's just so unique. He is so unique. He was on Mount Carmel. In Mount Carmel, he had this bull, he had all this stuff, and they put water on it, and he called fire from down from the Lord, and it consumed it all up. There's a part here where it said, it wouldn't rain until he commanded it. And he goes up there, Mount Carmel, sends out his right-hand man running it back and forth seven times. You see, I see a cloud coming. Here it is. The rain's coming because he prayed to the Lord. A rain started coming. And all of a sudden we see this man's prayers become answered. And what we see also is that the great water starts coming. The rain comes down. We also see in Scripture that he outruns Ahab in a chariot, pretty much a chariot. He outruns this whole thing. So God gave him special human abilities to outrun horses, however many there were, and just an amazing way. But also Elijah also was able to do some other things as well. When he's getting ready to cross over to some water, he's able to use his tonic piece there. And just his mantle there, and it splits open the water. He walk across dry land. All these things that he does is just amazing. And then the craziest part is he never died. He never died. God sent down a fiery set of like chariot horses on fire. However, and people go, I can't believe. Of course you can't believe it. You've never seen it. It takes faith. But God can do things. We want to put God in a box. And so he's lifted up, taken up into heaven. And he's also, what's crazy is Elijah's also there when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration up there with a few disciples. And there it is, Moses and Elijah. Elijah is an amazing man, but here it is. I want to tell you, it's almost like the life that I just shared with you really quick. His life is like the life that we can have with Christ, but here it is. In that moment, in the beginning, we don't know all what's going to happen in the future. So this is the point here. It's almost Elijah's kind of like his little boot camp here with God. His little boot camp like we have when we start to come to know who Christ is and we're allowing God to work through our lives. Listen, some of you have testimonies where God has worked in your life and it's almost like, wow, the first time God really moved in my life, and it's like, it just becomes overwhelming. And here it is. This is the moment where we see that this is like a boot camp for Elijah. He doesn't know right now. All the things I just told you, that's his future. But this is this moment here. I just gave news to the king. One thing we're going to find out about Elijah is he's obedient. When you're obedient, guess what happens in your life? One, you receive blessings. And number two, you have testimony. And testimonies are not about bragging on yourself. It's about lifting up what God is doing in your life. It's about the miracles that God has done in your life. It's about the obstacles that God has removed in your life. It's about the things you couldn't do, but God's supernatural power shifted some things, moved some things, and then you have a testimony to share about the power of God. And here it is. He's hiding now at this little wadi place. And he says, you are to drink from the wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you. Remember when I just said that God has a way of using humans? God has a way of using nature and his creation. What did he say? He says, I have commanded ravens to provide for you there. Verse 5. So he proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. That is a big thing. The Lord speaks to some of us. The Lord is speaking. The Holy Spirit speaks. And he's speaking to some of you. And he is making commands and telling us which ways to go, which doors to open, which ones to shut, which direction to go, what decisions to make, how to do certain things. And if you don't listen, then you're not being obedient. The Lord commands and he does and he opens things. And he provides. He's going to provide. He's already telling Elijah, I'm going to provide for you. So he says he proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. Elijah left and lived at the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. That's exactly what God told him to do. When you do exactly what God tells you to do, you're going to see God move. So the ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he would drink from the wadi. Here we find out that what did he say before? He commanded, he says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. What do the ravens do? They do exactly what God told them to do. They do exactly what God told these ravens to do. Let me remind you, God can provide for you, and the way he provides for you is a way that you, it's not always the way that you think he's going to provide. And he does it in such a unique way to provide so that you'll see that it was only by him who could do it. Yeah? Yeah? And so it is. So he said, here's the cool part. They're in a famine. There's no rain, but God knew where the water was. God knew where the meat was. God knew where the bread was. He brought it to Elijah. But what did it say? In the morning and in the evening, he get two meals a day. But a lot of people are struggling to get one. And I want to remind you, when you're out living in sin, and you're worshiping the Baals and doing your life, you will always struggle with the basic necessities. And if you don't struggle with the basic necessities in the way you're thinking right now, they will choke you because it never will be enough. But with God, there's always enough. There is always enough when God, when you're doing it God's way and allowing Him to provide. But it says in verse 7, after a while, the wadi dried up because there was no rain, and the land, because no rain was up, because the wadi was filled up by other streams. And so at the end of this little pool area, it just finally went dry. But I'm going to remind you, God never runs dry. The things of the earth may have a limit. And God could have put more water there. He could have allowed water to come up from the bottom. But God said, you know, God let nature take its course there, but God wanted to use some other things. Elijah learned right there that he needed to be reliant on God. That God is taking care of him. Not just one meal a day, but two meals a day. Guess what? He didn't even have to go anywhere to pick it up. It was flown into him. Did you catch that? God served him. Brought it in. It was flown in. Talk about delivery. Yep. Going DoorDash that one, right? Right down the line. Twice a day. Right on time. Didn't even have to pay for it. He's learning that God is sufficient. God supplies. What God says happens. Even when the birds, even when it's coming by birds. Birds didn't care about the people. You don't see birds flying out of the sky, landing on your shoulder, asking you how good it was, bringing you stuff. No. But when God says, birds, do what I tell you, they will do because they are His creation. And if you don't think animals can talk, well, we know one about Balaam's donkey, right? Yeah. What am I going to do now? Birds stop flying. There's no more water. You know what I love about Scripture? It just tells us what's next. Here in verse 8 it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, get up from Zarephath, and that belongs to Sidon, and there stay there. And stay there. So now he's giving him instructions to go to someplace new and different. Whenever God tells you to go someplace new and different, he's already there. Come on now. He's already there. He's already got a plan. He's already got supplies for you. Here it is. This is the challenge of faith, where our faith is challenged. Where are we going to get up and go in that direction? Well, I'm going to get up. He gets up. He says, I know who supplied me all this time and this famine. I'm going to follow the one. What's he going to do next? Well, he tells him. He says, I have commanded. Here it is. God says, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. Now, that doesn't make any sense. First of all, it's birds. Now it's a widow. Now, widows were considered lesser on the bottom. They're just kind of in the way. What can they do? They relied on the charity of the community, the charity of people. If they have any family members, they were always the one in need. That's why Scripture tells us in the book of James that you want your religious to be right, you got to take care of widows, orphans, and widows. Widows are always in need. How can someone in need help someone else who it doesn't make sense? But what we're going to see is God's going to show a way. I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. Now here it is. We're going to catch up with this in a minute. So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. And Elijah called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink. As she went to get it, he called to her and said, verse 11, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Now remember, there is a famine going on. That means people are lacking in water. There might be some water, but they are really lacking in food. Everybody's going to that well. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in a jug. Just now I am gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat and die. Now here it is. God has just said, I commanded a woman to take care of you. She don't even know it yet. You know God's got some things in your life that you don't even know yet? You might have some money in your pocket that God says, I've already commanded this person is going to give it. You don't even know, but you're going to have to let go of it to help someone. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you really sacrificed something to God? I'm not talking about tithes. When's the last time you really gave something that kind of stung a little bit? Well, God's commanding this woman to do something she doesn't even know anything about yet. She says, I'm getting ready. This is my last meal. A little bit of flour. Need some sticks. Got a little bit of oil. We're going to go back and make a couple of these little bread things. And that's it. It's the last meal. And we're going to die. Pretty much. What you coming up here in my face asking me for something? And I, you know what we would, most of us would say? I got to take care of me. Get out of my way. Verse 13, then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. First make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. He said, you feed me first. That's hard to take. Afterwards, you may make some for yourself and your son. I imagine her mind is spinning pretty crazy right now. For this is what the Lord your God Israel says. And what he is reminding her, he says, this is what the Lord your God has said. And remember, a lot of them are serving Baal. What? The flour jar will not become empty, and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. Basically, what you got is going to last until the rain hits the ground again. And what is amazing is the scripture says, so she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. I want to tell you, when your back's against the wall and you say, I can't go any lower, you'll try anything. Even if it's just that much faith, even if you just got a little bit, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what this crazy man's saying. I got one meal here, but if he says that, that's the most amount of hope I've heard in a long time. Somebody going to say my jugs and my oil and my flour's not going to run out? Listen, when your life is in the midst of hanging on, you'll grab on to any kind of rope. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. And then the woman Elijah and her household ate for many days, and the flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. What we're seeing here is this piece here with this. Really, who was the one who really received the great blessing? Yes, Elijah came in and was being fed continually. He was a servant of God. He believes in God. God takes care of his believers. God takes care of his men and women and his children. God takes care of his family. But who was the real receiver of this? It was the widow's woman. Because what did it say? It said here that they ate off of this for many days. The whole household. So it says, then the woman Elijah and her household. So whoever was in her household also received that blessing. Because they took that man of God in, they did what God wanted, God took care of them all the way through the famine. Now here it is, God had the ravens and bringing in the food and that meat and bread. I don't think we get the picture of what's going on here. Here it is. When Moses brought the people out of Egypt, God fed them with what? Bread from heaven, manna. When they bellyached, they didn't like it enough. They asked for meat, And then they got in trouble because they bellied ate against God, but God brought them so much meat they got sick of that. And then it poisoned all up anyway. And if they tried to hoard the manna, they also would be all fall apart and everything. It got rotten. But here it is. Here it is. A man just following God. God doesn't just give him bread. He also gave him meat twice a day. Some of you eat three meals a day, correct? Some of you love breakfast. Some of you don't like breakfast. Some of you like lunch. Some of you don't care for lunch. Some of you eat supper. And some of you don't care for supper. But then some of you like 20 snacks a day. Some of us like 4 snacks a day. Some of us just like just to keep on eating, right? Here it is. Elijah was fed twice a day, but in this place here, in this household, the flour jar and the oil jar never went dry. They could eat whenever they wanted to. They weren't just having a daily meal. They were being full. They were full. And I think that's what God wants us to be able to have when we follow Him, is to be full of what God has for us. Being full of His Spirit, being full in our stomach, being able to do what God has called us to do. And here we find this woman in her household being blessed because she has an ounce of faith in her moment of like, I'm going to die. We're having this last meal too. All right, I'll do what you said. This one last piece, I want to tell you, God is still holding His hand out while you're still alive, even for your last moment, to reach out and cling to the hand of God. Isn't it amazing, the awesomeness of God, how He provides? But you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. It wasn't long. The scripture says it wasn't long. It says after this, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He got so sick, he's going to die. And the woman says, would you come here? Is this because of my sins? We start to say things when we get desperate. We get angry. We get upset. We say things sometimes we may not mean. But other times, part of that may be truth in there. She said, what did you come here for? This is the judgment of God upon my sins? Let me remind you, people that don't sin, are people that don't believe in God, they still know they've done things wrong. People that don't know Christ, don't have Christ, we all know, whether you're a believer here today or not, or you're here for whatever reason you're here for, you all know. We all know that we've done things that are wrong. That we all done things that we're ashamed of. We've all done things we wish we would have never done. Still, does it make any difference? God is real. And we're accountable for those. And this woman is asking, my son's sick and dying. She said to Elijah, man of God, why are you here? Have you come to call attention to my iniquity so that my son is put to death? Now I want to remind you, if you eat dinner with someone that you don't know, you begin small talk. You have meal after meal, you begin to talk about more in-depth things. And meal after meal and day after day, you begin to get more personal, correct? You get more personal. More time you sit across the table from someone, you share a meal, you become more personal. Here it is. She says, man of God. She switches from being Elijah. She says, man of God. This is what happens. We start throwing titles out when we get upset. We start putting things up. Here it is, man of God. Did you come here? Because I want to remind you, food is not important when it's someone you love and they're about to die, especially someone young. Everything you got doesn't matter. Your home doesn't matter. Your cars don't matter. Your money don't matter. I want to challenge you. If you struggle with things, and George Foreman is one of my favorite autobiographies, George Foreman, that and George Mueller, of course. Two Georges. Because George Foreman came to a point where he had a relative who was so sick. He said, I was so angry. I'm champion of the world. I had more money than I could shake a stick at. I went up to the doctor with a big bag of money. Here it is. Fix it. He said, I can't. What? Money can buy everything. And then he found out. He said, I'm champion of the world, but I'm champion of nothing. And he found out that I had to find out who was the champion. And he found out that God was the champion. Great autobiography. I challenge you to read it. I've given a couple of them out. I've ordered to keep a couple of those out to people that were struggling. Great peace, because God is the champion of life and death. If you're not living, you don't need another meal. Nobody's concerned about meals here. It's funny how we can forget about the blessings of God real quick. when we have tragedy in front of us. But Elijah says, give me your son. And he goes up there and finds out the son's not breathing. He has a conversation with God. You know how a conversation would go. He said, Lord my God, you have also brought tragedy. Have you brought tragedy on this widow I am staying with by killing her son? So Elijah's in an intense conversation, a prayer moment with the Lord. Because sometimes what happens doesn't make sense. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because we live in a broken world where sin brings forth death. Sin brings forth disease. Brings forth all kinds of things. Then he stretched himself out over the boy three times, and he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, my God, please let this boy's life come to him again. What Elijah was learning is not about my ministry is doing and serving God by helping people. And in this moment, this child was not breathing, and he puts all himself in it, and he says, Lord, please let this boy live. Let him live again. Here it is. How can you go to a God and ask the Lord to cause someone to live again? You can't until you go through these moments with ravens and other testimonies and opportunities where you let God be God in those smaller things and you keep building up, and then you'll be able to say, Lord, let that person live. Let that person come to Christ, knowing you know by experience the power of the hand of God. Don't ask God to change the city if you've not allowed Him to work in your own life, your own family. Doesn't mean they all have to be living for Christ, but you've seen Christ work in your life because people do have the choice. But you need to say, for me and my house, we shall and we will and we will and we will serve the Lord. And you know, and you have past. Here it is. This is a man who's able to do and pray this because he knows what it's like to watch the skies shut up. No rain and no dew. The rain is one thing, that dew is another. And to turn around knowing that ravens were, because God said He would feed him those twice a day. Here comes the delivery, twice a day, right on time. Not just bread, but meat too, and water. And now a jug of oil and a jug of flour won't go empty. Now he's able to say, look at this. Lord, what is going on here? But please let this boy's life come to life so the Lord listen to Elijah. You know, God listens to you when you're living for God. He listens to your prayers when you let Him be God. Don't say He's God just to say He's God. Let God be God in your life. You know, sometimes we say, I don't know if the Lord's listening. When you take a step back and say, am I listening? Am I following? Am I obeying? And the Lord listened. It's amazing what can happen when you get in a room with God alone. Woo! When you get in the room with just God alone, what can happen? The Lord listened to Elijah, and the boy's life came into him again, and he lived. Then Elijah took the boy and brought him down from the upstairs room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah says, look, your son is alive. And then the woman said to Elijah, now I know you are a man of God, and the Lord's word from your mouth is true. You know what we see here with this woman? We see this woman taking a moment of just a little bit of faith, believing, and that moment where she thinks she's going to die, now she's being fed. And now, here it is, her son was sick, and now he comes back to life. I believe that many of us, when we let God pass us by, we allow God just, we push Him by. We don't want it. Here it goes. There goes our blessings and our miracles as well. All along this time, the world out there is just getting more evil. King Ahab is doing some pretty wicked things. Elijah is doing what God's commanded him to do. But Jezebel's doing her thing. All those priests of Baal doing her thing. Don't think that God wasn't seeing all that. Remember what we said in the beginning. Elijah didn't know what his future was. Oh, he had that big noon showdown coming up in Carmel real quick. But I want to remind you, this is a cool piece. We don't talk about it when we study this. We don't. Here it is. We get so wrapped up in what's going on in Carmel. It's a really awesome Mount Carmel. Man, that is amazing. We get wrapped up in Elijah just, you know, running down the mountainside. We get caught up when he's up on top of the mountain. He's saying, do you see a cloud? Because the rain is coming. Here it is. And he comes, and that rain starts coming down. And Elijah says, you tell Ahab, he's got to get off this mountain. Even in that, God is still somehow protecting this king. Anyway, get down off the mountain. And Elijah runs. I'm going to remind you, back in Zarephath, where this widow is, once that rain dropped and hit the ground, whatever was in that jar was the last of it. Whatever was going on and all that crazy stuff on Mount Carmel, Zarephath also, there was a promise that was said, when that first rain drops, all that will dry up. I believe sometimes our blessings are time limited. We're called to be faithful in it. Inside the brackets of a beautiful blessing, but also called to be faithful outside the brackets of those beautiful blessings. Elijah had a great roller coaster of a life. God used him all there. Even when he called fire down on those military guys that were coming to get him. It's just amazing. But everybody has a starting point. Everybody has a starting point with God. And all God wants us to do is be obedient. Be obedient. What is God telling you to do? With all the things we got going on, listen, you don't want to get in my brain. Ask my wife. You don't want to get in my brain because my words come out and they come out all crazy if I'm thinking, listen, I don't want to get in your brain. I'm telling you, we can have so many sidetracked thoughts and things going on in our life. But don't let those things over become blockage to what God has called you in your life. When God is speaking, listen. Be obedient. And maybe for some of you, it is a time to sacrifice something. I don't know. Talk about offerings. It doesn't have to be funds. It doesn't have to be much. Whatever the Lord has. Whatever He puts on your heart. But I will tell you this, no matter whether you're going through a hard time or you're in need or you're at a moment of tragedy in your life, I want to tell you God is in all of those moments, every one of those moments, God is there. The question is, it's not if He is there, it's if you'll let Him be God when you're there. Because I'm telling you, if you're like me, if you don't let God do it, you'll probably make the wrong decision. You'll make the wrong decision. Because we don't make very good decisions outside of God. We don't. And I want to tell you, I'll tell you this. People say, if there are no Christians in the world, there's no peace here. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. I want to tell you this. How do I know? How do you know that? Well, when Jesus comes back, when Jesus calls us back, I'm telling you, the world just falls apart. Because God's Spirit is in us. It's the Holy Spirit. Speaking to us. Telling us which way to go every day. We just got to listen. We got to obey. Be careful who you let speak in your life. Be careful who you let get up close to you. Be careful. But also be open-minded where you can take an opportunity to share the gospel, share what's going on, pray with people. Be open, but be obedient to the Lord. Father, we thank you for an opportunity today to speak, to hear you speak it from your word a little bit about what's happening in the beginning of the ministry of Elijah. Lord, that is amazing. Lord, in this moment, each one of us is at a different place. And what is awesome, Lord, you can be in all those places right now, in each and every one. I pray, Father, your Spirit would have its way. You would have your way in this moment. In Christ's name, amen.